wrestlings. You know, the word wrestling, even in the English, means to be able to overpower or take over without striking a blow. It has many connotations, but basically we want to look at it in the spiritual sense. It has a great deal to do with our nation and how we have the victory, even down to you witnessing against the false Messiah in the end times. So we can learn quite a lesson from that. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Jacob, which means contender in the Hebrew tongue, is returning to the land of Canaan to his father. He's taking with him 11 children and Rebekah and Leah, and actually he's going to meet Esau, and he's afraid. He's frightened. This basically will tell you how not to contend and how you prevail. So with that having been said, let's pick it up in verse 6, if we may, as Jacob, the old contender, is dreading meeting his brother who has sworn to kill him. Well, why? Because he contended with him even in the mother's womb. That's why he's called contender or the heel grabber. That's why he's called Jacob in the Hebrew tongue. He contended with Esau and took the birthright. He contended with Laban and took his wives and much cattle. He's quite a contender, and that's why he's called so. But here, as he goes to meet Esau, who has also become strong, we see this mindset. Verse 6, 32, Genesis reads, "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." I mean, that's an army. Or is it friends? Which is it? Verse 7, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands." I mean, he's got little children, he's got families, he's got all of his belongings, his wives. And verse 8, "And said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." We're going to figure this out. It's well to plan ahead, but don't ever leave God out of the equation. Verse 9, "And Jacob said, O God, my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, and Lord which setteth unto me." He's following instructions from God. "Return unto thy country, to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." Now what's he afraid of? If God spoke to you and told you to do a thing and said it would be well to you, would be you shaking your boots? I don't think so if you have faith, if you love Him, if you trust Him, if you're truly a servant of His, you're not going to be afraid. Why? Because you know He's with you. He always is. Verse 10, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." I'm split up here. You promised it would be well. Well, the father hadn't said anything. It's he that's doing the splitting. "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." Again, when God gives an order, follow it. You don't have to make sure it's from him, but he has no need to worry. "And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered from multitude." And that prophecy has come to pass. The house of Judah and the house of Israel are split. But the house of Israel was taken over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, settled Europe, then migrated to Canada and the Americas. and what a magnificent nation we are. As it would come to pass in the 25th chapter of this great book of Genesis, God would say to Rebekah, in your womb are two nations. And those nations exist today, Russia and the United States of America, and which is well written in prophecy. And through that one womb, and through the hand of God, and that's why it's so important that God wants you to adhere to this lesson that happens to a nation, and what follows thereafter. 13, and he lodged there that same night, and he took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. Let's buy some friends. You do not buy friends. A person is your friend or they're not. You can't buy them. You can give them a gift and they'll be fickle. You can't buy friends. This nation can't buy friends. They're either with us or they're against us. 14, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-ashes, and 10 foals. You can't buy them. Well, he's trying. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, split them up in groups. And he said unto his servants, pass over before me and put a space betwixt drove and drove. You spread it out and see if you got a chance. I mean, give him one gift and then another. Pretty soon it's going to soften him up. We'll buy him. When God told him to go there, that it would be well, and he's acting like this, the leader of the nation. 17, and he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou? And whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? 18, then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's, the old contender, the hill grabber. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, also, he is behind us. He's on his way. 19, and so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, of this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. You know, when man strikes out on his own, here, this is a contender contending without God. Okay. What good does that do? Usually man messes up. If you don't believe it, look around you today. Turn your television on and listen to what's happening in Washington, D.C. 20. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure, he will accept of me. He'll like me. If you're serving God, you don't care whether someone likes you or not. Okay. That should not change your ability to serve God. If you're serving God and you're doing what's right, then if people like you, that's well. If they don't, you continue serving God. Because he will be with you, he will bless you, and it will be well. You will receive knowledge from him and witness. And in this generation, that's extremely important, that you bring God into the equation. It is well to be a contender and to plan ahead. Problem, don't leave God out of the equation. Verse 21, so went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. 22, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. Jabbok in the Hebrew tongue means emptying. It was a little stream that emptied into the Jordan. That's how close they are. 23, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled. Here's our subject. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When God appoints someone to do something, he's going to test them. He's sending Jacob to accomplish something. He's not doing too good. He's trying to buy, which when you buy a friendship, there's no loyalty there. There's nothing stable. And he's really messing up big time. Why? He's leaving God out of the equation. Do you know who this is he's wrestling with? It's God himself. Now, he has contended with all these others, and now he's contending with God. Who do you think is going to win? Wrestling. Trying to force somebody into something without striking a blow. 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the when God didn't prevail, I mean, he didn't give up. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Man cannot fight God. Okay, you got that? Don't ever try to go against God or you're a loser. Jacob, the contender, the leader, the promise that the covenant was made to even, cannot contend with God. 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not, and Jacob answers God, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Here now he's turned to prayer. You might remember that. He's praying now. 27, and he said unto him, God speaking, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now, what does Jacob mean again? Contender. You're always contending for something here. 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. This gets twisted somewhat in people's minds, and it would seem they missed the whole point. What it's saying now is, you're not going to be contender anymore. You're going to be Israel, which being translated means, he who with God prevails over men. You want me to say that again? He who is with God and has God's help can prevail over men. That is the secret to success when you are a member of the house of Israel, spiritually or physically. You do not leave God out of the equation. The power of God is what gives us success. Without it, guess what? You're a failure. But God touching him and giving him that blessing of changing his name, and say, from henceforth, you are the prince. He didn't remove him from office. He was still worthy of that. Some people aren't. Still worthy of that. And allowed him to prevail as long as he had God with him. You leave God out of the equation, you're a loser. Every time. How important it is that God's very words, I mean, God saw fit to even come to earth, this leader of men, and touch him, where that we could have this message. You might say the father of a nation, basically, that would lead and instruct as long as God was with him. Unfortunately, in this generation, we have a lot of people trying to have us take God out of the equation. Dastardly act in this past week, some veterans officials appointed by liberals wants to take God out of funeral services of veterans that have fought for this nation. You can't take God out and prevail. It won't work. That'll never fly, incidentally. I'll tell you, the veterans of this nation will rise up and there will be much trouble. If that continues, trying to tell us that we can't mention Jesus or our Father at a military funeral, it's not going to happen. But here we have the foundation for it. God's giving him the name. With God you can prevail among men. And so it is. And with his name being changed, verse 29, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name, as if he didn't know God's name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? Question. You know who I am. And he blessed him there. That blessing came forth. I don't know. Do you claim it? I mean, it's your right. That blessing is for this house of Israel. And that blessing is that with God with you, if you have hooked into that power, then you can prevail with men. Otherwise, you're a joke. Okay, on the surface of this earth, as far as spiritual competitiveness in this end generation, when the darkness of night overshadows much, you better be in that power and you'd better be in that light. Again, what is it that Israel means properly translated? It means with God, man can prevail. So you want to remember that when you pray and when you ask. Verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which, what does that mean? Face of God. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And so it is that Jacob received that blessing. No longer Jacob, which is the father of the natural seed of Israel, but changed to the name Israel. Why? Because the power of God is entailed therein. Are you plugged in or have you come out of socket? Is your faith strong enough that you can believe that? Because if it is, you have that power at your service in His name. It is so precious. And what a promise and a blessing given by God. And one that is overlooked by so very, very many people. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. New Testament, the great book of Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not away from Him, not beside Him, but in Him. And in the power of His might. Again, are you plugged in? Are you hooked up? Well, how do I do that? Well, He's going to tell you simply by the numbers. 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That is to say, his deceit, his lies, his trickery when he comes as Antichrist. Are you plugged in? You're going to need to be. When you have that armor on, it is your strength, it is your power, because you are a member of the family of the prince who with God prevails over men, Satan included. Verse 12, for we wrestle, there's our word again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If you think that's where your war is, you're totally in the dark. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Many are going to say, well, Jacob wrestled, number one, it wasn't with high places. It was a man right here on earth. It was God on earth, and it doesn't get any higher than he was, so be careful. I mean, you don't get a higher principality than God himself and God teaching. So our war is against Satan and his deception that he brings on our people. And you had better be one that even has compassion on our people that are deceived. Why? They don't know any better. They're blind. And they're being misled. And you must be patient with them. Have compassion. and utilize the power that He gives you to prevail in this men's time. It's real simple. It's that easy. It's to love God and to have the following ingredients. But again, don't ever think that our main battle is against flesh and blood. That's a piece of cake, okay? You just use a little common sense and you can handle that. But when it comes to the demonics, you need the power of God. If you want to prevail, if you want to be a loser, hey, have a good trip. Verse 13, wherefore take ye the whole armor of God. Don't just use part of it. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, you will stand against the false Messiah. And if you don't stand for that, you stand for nothing. Okay. And it takes this to make that stand. You don't have to be afraid as Jacob was. Well, why? I kind of dread it. Why? It's what God's telling you. You're going there. You're going to witness. The Holy Spirit's going to speak through. You don't even have to think what you're going to say, as it's written in Mark 13. Make the stand. Stand for something. Stand for your Heavenly Father. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. If you don't have truth, you got nothing. That's what sets you free. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, do what's right and hope that it pleases people. If it doesn't, they're not your people. Period. 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be ready to march and act on what He gives you. Let your feet do the carrying. Put the gospel where you can. Above all, now what is this? Above all. That means this is most important. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Do you understand how powerful faith is? It's to know that God's on the throne, that He's in charge. And if He's with you, you can prevail. You've got nothing to fear. So don't start shaking in your boots or letting people see you sweat on your first cruise. You stand up, be a man, woman, or child of God, and act on it. Stand with the armor of God on and in place. And why wouldn't I be a little afraid? He's with you. He is your shield. He's going to shield anything away from you that you can't handle with common sense. 17, and take the helmet of salvation. That earns you eternal life. What a gift. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Be skilled in it. Memorize the Word of God on the parts that you can. Okay. That Word of God is the truth, and it will sustain you. It gives you power. Have the faith to believe the word when you have it in its proper perspective, knowing and understanding that as long as God is with you, you have the power to prevail among men. Praying, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, is in the flesh. Now, in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What is the main, one of the main things, 19 to complete? And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Mark 13 guarantees you that. Have you read it? It says, when you open your mouth, you don't have to worry. God's going to speak through you. You're not to even premeditate what you say. But if you have these ingredients, this armor on, whereby you're plugged into the power of God, for you see, it is not you that prevail, but Almighty God. That is so simple, and yet at the same time so deep for some people to know and to understand. That God loves His children. How mixed up and confused some people can be. stumbling over the simplicity in which Christ brought us to simply use common sense to love the Father and to know that He is with you, collecting on that blessing that He gave our father, Jacob. Jacob I have loved, Esau I hated, is what our father said. Which side are you on? You want to be careful. But then He's always with you. And what a blessing it is to have God on your side, because that guarantees you success. Not just a contender. Anybody can contend or be stubborn or be miserable. But it takes with God with you, the Word of God, the armor of God, to be successful. That is to say, to have God's blessings, to have God with you, whereby you prevail. That applies to your business, your education, your everyday existence. Is the blessings of God upon those that have God with them. It is a beautiful thing and a terrible thing to forfeit if you let it fly by the wayside. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it reads, "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." If you've absorbed the word, you know what the final generation is. It's during the parable of the fig tree. Started in the year of our Lord, 1948. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Which means what, being translated? It means that if people knew when the thief was coming, they would be up and loaded and locked for him. Means catches them off guard. They don't know. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Who is them? Them is those that are ignorant concerning God's word. That doesn't fit you. Why? Because you have God with you, and with Him you can prevail over men. Not them that are deceived. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief." Why? You know about it. Why? Well, you have that gospel armor on called the truth. Right there. And plus, you're all loaded up with the Spirit, which is the Word of God. "Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. You are not of the night nor of the darkness." You make that stand against that is evil. And stand for that is good. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." That means sincere. Know the word. Study it. "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." 8. "But let us who are of the day be sober," sincere, "putting on the breastplate of faith," here's the gospel armor again, "and love, for an helmet," that's eternal salvation, the hope of salvation. 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." So what are you afraid of? Even though the end is coming, God has appointed this, it's going to happen. Is He with you? I hope so, because if you're with Him, He's with you. And verse 9, "For God has," I've got that. Verse 10, "who died for us," let's do 9 again. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." He sent Him here as a prime example of telling you how to do it. "Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him, in Him, by Him, and for Him, eternal life. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also we do." And so it is. Plug in to the power of God. It is so important to have that breastplate on. That means doing what's right. Okay. studying God's word is what is right. Having God in your life lets you prevail. Don't ever overlook that. In conclusion, I'm not in conclusion. We're going to go a couple of places. Turn on to the next book, Timothy, 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 11. 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 11. Verse 11 reads, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness," that's the breastplate, "godliness, faith," the shield, "love, patience, and meekness." That builds character. Okay. "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life." Claim it, it's yours. "Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession among many witnesses," and you're going to be a witness. And that witness is against the false Messiah himself. The fiery darts of Satan mean nothing to you because you're armed for it, well equipped and trained, whereby you have nothing to worry about. 13, "I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth," that means makes it alive, brings it to pass, "all things, and before Christ Jesus, whom before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." He gave an example of your witness, what you're going to witness before many people. 14, "that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ." You will hold that line. You will stand, putting the gospel armor on and in place, and stand until he returns, "which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." That day is coming, my dear friends. The thing is, you want to make sure that you're plugged in, that he's with you, because if he's with you, you can prevail against men. 16, to complete here in this book, "who only hath immortality dwelling in the light," not the darkness, "light, which no man can reproach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting." And so it is that you can feel, you can see, even not necessarily as Jacob did, but you know he's real because he touches your heart. And when he blesses you, you're successful. You can prevail. You can be an influence upon people. It changes lives. It builds up. It doesn't tear down. Why? Because it prevails when God is with you. In conclusion, turn to Romans 13. Romans 13 has to do with honoring our nation or any power you happen to be in, obeying civil law and worldly law, whereby you can teach spiritual law, whereby you can be successful, whereby you can, with God with you, prevail over men. Romans 13. Verse 11, the first verses simply tell you there is no government in power that God didn't have a purpose for it. It may be negative, but he's got a purpose for it. And as long as you obey the civil laws of that place, you can preach God's word. Why? Because God is with you. Verse 11, back to the subject of wrestling, of the conflict in the end times against principalities in high places, which is to say Satan and his children, and his evil spirits. Verse 11, "and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." It's a lot closer than some may believe. Verse 12, "the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. You get it out of your life. And let us put on the armor of light. Well, what is that? It's God's armor. It's the armor we discussed in Ephesians 6. Every piece of it. 13, let us walk honestly. That's legally. That's what the term is in this 13th chapter. Legally. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness. Not, that's jealousy, not in strife and envying. You don't have time for it. 14, to complete the lecture. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It is so important that you bring God into the equation of wrestling against the demonic and bad spirits in this world that's trying to drive God from our vocabulary and our lives, even in a nation that some of us have fought and shed blood for, to have the freedom to worship as we so choose, trying to rip it away from us just in broad daylight. It's not going to happen. Why? God is with us. And as long as God is with us, we shall prevail over the dastardly acts of those that would try to remove God from our vocabulary or from our lives, for He is our life. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the privilege of being allowed to serve you. Thank you, Father, for being with our nation and all free nations everywhere and people in bondage that believe, Father. Reach down, touch, and let that power prevail, Father, in that house that is so precious in thy sight. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Mark of the Beast on CD.